I was chasing achievement and not my own purpose, right? I hadn't stopped to reflect it on me because deep down inside, I didn't think that I deserved it. My life was I needed just to give back to my community, give back to my family, do everything I could to become stable, you know, the people pleasing. I needed to be there for everyone else, but I didn't deserve that chance to see it for me.
You're listening to the Woman of Value podcast. You are about to hear the story of a woman who is following her dreams and passions and creating positive change in the world. Today's guest is Dr. Esther Celedon. She is in the business of impacting lives. She's the founder of Be Act Change. She empowers high achieving individuals, teams, and communities to discover and live their purpose in alignment with their mission and their vision. She has a global presence rooted in the Latina experience, and she inspires professionals, leaders, and change makers to find fulfillment and growth. Welcome to the show, Esther.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
What does Woman of Value mean to you?
So Woman of Value to me means living your authentic self, like your life filled with purpose, authenticity, and really knowing and living like your value, right? So knowing what it is, what is that gift you bring to the world, having it shine every single day, and it doesn't matter what other people think or anything that goes around you, like you're so sure of it and you know it and you know it's true to your gift and you're authentically living it and you could be that every single day.
How wonderful would it be if we could all know ourselves really well and be able to live it and not care what other people think, which
that's the
is
hardest part.
Really hard. I'm sure that this didn't just come to you naturally. Yeah. Like you were born being really confident and living your authentic life. Like we have to work to get there. So can you share a little bit about that process and what was one of those pivotal moments where you started to realize your value and started to step into who you are authentically?
I think I'm going to have to go back in time when I was born. So I was born in Nicaragua. And when I was almost two, I almost died. And so my parents, kind of like my dad's not a really big believer in like religion, but he's spiritual. So he was like, ah, you know what? There was like 3 weeks left. I would live. And he's like, I want to play the lotto. And so he played the lotto with my mom's sister and they won. Now, at the same time, there was civil war engulfing the country. Everything was going to chaos. And they used that money then to save my life in Miami. Now, this did a couple things, though. Well, one is saved my life, which is fantastic. But at the other side of it, though, I also grew up feeling that I owed to them my life. And so, you know, we immigrated to the U.S. and then we had no money. And so I grew up, you know, with struggle, right? Couponing, hustling, right? Grew up in the immigrant experience. But I was at the same time living the whole, I was a burden. I need to be the perfect child. I need to do everything to repay them, right? So then I started my whole life following the check marks, you know, chasing the American dream because I really wanted to give back to my parents everything that they had given me. And that's why I say I have to start with the origin because there's a reason why I wasn't being my authentic self, right? I had to follow all the check marks, hustle, and I really wanted to give back. So what did that mean for me? That meant I put my head down, I worked hard, I made zero waves, right? I like followed, was the best student, got the full scholarships to university, to graduate school, all those things. But then I already started to feel that something wasn't right. You know, and even doing my doctorate program, even though I enjoyed what I studied, when I actually finished, I actually felt kind of empty, right? Because to me, it was like, that's it. Once I get this, I'm going to feel amazing and everyone's going to be so proud and I would do this thing. And I felt this emptiness inside. So that was like my first pivotal moment. And I'm like, why do I feel empty at the ultimate check mark that I was sold? I was actually more happy that I helped my dad finish his PhD because he had to stop to get, you know, to get more work and lost this funding. So I really wanted him to finish it because it was his dream. And so I was more happy that I got him to finish it than myself. But again, I wasn't ready yet. So it was the first pivotal moment. I then decided, okay, well, there's something else missing. You know what? What's the other check marks they saw you, right? Getting married and having the American dream lifestyles. I was like, okay, I need to get married. So I get married. And then I'm here married, and I'm like, wow, I'm still not, there's still something off, right? And I remember I still have a very vivid memory of staring on the floor at the ceiling going, where did I go wrong? Because here I have now, oh, the marriage of this, and I had just gotten a job offer that I really wanted. And I'm like, but I still don't feel great, but I'm like, but you know what? I still haven't climbed the career ladder. That's what's missing, right? That's what's missing. So then I go on the chase in the career, chasing achievement. So at that time, my purpose was chasing achievement. And so here I am chasing achievement, and then I climb the ladder. Now, years of climbing, and and I know this is a lot of women will understand, right? Experience, right? Bullying. I'm the only woman climbing up, right? Everything that happens to you, all the aggressions happen to you is climbing up, right? But I'm still like, but I still need to get here. I still need to get here. And it's when I got there that I experienced the third pivotal moment. And that was when I was like, I'm not in alignment. I had reached a director position. I managed big teams. I had leveraged $100 million. And I had started making change, but that's when I was like, I started to feel all those body symptoms, and your body tells you before your mind does. I was not sleeping. I was working 15-hour days. I felt disconnected to my family. Like everything was kind of suffering, and I was suffering in my health. And that's when that was the last pivotal moment that I had that I was like, you know what? I need to come to alignment. And the worst part of it was that my whole career directory, what I actually enjoyed and was helping other people do, was helping them find their alignment, discover their purpose, getting them to go after their dream. But the problem was that for me, I wasn't seeing for myself that I was chasing achievement and not my own purpose, right? I hadn't stopped to reflect it on me, because deep down inside, I didn't think that I deserved it. I think that my life was, I needed just to give back to my community, give back to my family, do everything I could to become, stable, the people pleasing, right? And the perfectionism, I needed to be there for everyone else, but I didn't deserve that chance to see it for me, right? And that everything else came first. And at that moment, I decided, you know what, I need to figure this out for myself. And until I get alignment, everyone around me is going to suffer too, because then I was having anxiety. And that's when I went on my journey then to really find, like, what is my purpose, right? Rediscover it for myself using the same formula I had helped everyone else do it with, really taking that time to do it for myself, make my own roadmap. And then not only that, but like align it with my actions, right? Because one thing is then understanding what your purpose is, but then it's like, how do you align it with your day to day? And then life was always going to happen. So how am I going to create then my life that even when life happens, like my parents, my kids, and everyone else around me that I was used to always supporting, how am I going to really commit to making sure that I stay on track and that I go in alignment? And as we mentioned before, right, the hardest part is what other people think, right? Everyone knew me as something, right? As the person that was the achiever, was the nurturer, was helping everyone else. And how was I going to be able to express them and create a new expectation of who I was and be able to know that, hey, this is my value and gift, and know it well enough that I knew that there would be discomfort first, and push through that discomfort, build a community of champions around me that will understand it, that will help me propel, while at the same time trying to cancel some of that noise around me and have faith that that noise will eventually, the true champions, the true people that support you will eventually come around, right? Once they get just to this new expectation. But that took that level of believing, right? Believing in myself, believing in the process, and really not just looking at where I was going, but looking at the steps and the discomfort that I would experience getting there. So that for me was that like pivotal time that then I made the transition to where I am now.
Well, okay. There's a lot there to unpack from birth to today, 5 minutes. But your story resonates so much, and I'm sure so many of our listeners will relate to it, not having gone through a near-death experience at birth and, you know, and at a young age. And but that feeling of who am I, and also that feeling of I have to work so hard to prove myself. I think that's such a common theme. And then you become a people pleaser, perfectionist. You abandon yourself in support of other people. And I think all of these themes are so relatable. But, you know, your particular experience is a fascinating one. You're born in another country and almost dying, and then this crazy lottery winning and being able to use that money to save your life. And then, you know, achieve, and then get married. That's another milestone. And so now you're here, you push through the discomfort, you found like this wasn't working. And so how do I find myself? How do I find my purpose? And now you find it. So tell us what happens. How do you find it? And then what do you do with it?
Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, like, you know, we hear purpose being thrown around a lot, right? I read it before in books, you know, and I had always turned to books as like my way to get inspiration and think about things. But I saw hardly anything describes how, right? The closest was the Japanese model, Ikagi, right? That kind of goes into four pillars, but barely any really goes into like the whole questioning. How do you find it, right? Some people confuse it with what they think their next goal is. Some other people interpret it as, oh, it's the thing I love. But you know, like for me, what I was able to do, which my career helped me, was I didn't mention what I did as a career. I was in international development, right? I was working as a diplomat and working all around communities all around the world. Now, in that system, you go to a country and you tell them what they need, right? So this whole system, it kind of mirrors the whole chasing the American dream thing, where you go in there and you're like, well, I'm the expert, whatever sector it is, and I have a solution, and I'm going to go to X country and I'm going to give it to them. Right. So this is how the international aid model works in humanitarian. Right. We go in with our solutions and we think that we have the solution the other person needs. Now, what I saw in my whole career there was I saw then projects after 5 years get abandoned, people lose interest, so much money. I mean, you see this all in the news all the time. And I was like, well, I didn't enter this career in this field to see things not have sustainable impact. Right. This for me, I could have gone into anything. I was like, I'm here to make an impact in the world. I knew that. So I was like, you know, I let's change up the model. What if we actually go talk to people, listen to them, understand what they need, and we fund that? And but then everyone's like, I don't even know how to do that. I don't know how to listen to other people. And then where's my value in that? Because my value I tied to my title and tied to my sectoral expertise. If you're asking me to go listen, then anyone can do that. So then where, then I might lose my job, right? And there's all that tension. And I'm like, no, if we go listen and facilitate discussions where they come up with their own solutions and we fund that, then you can connect them to the technical experts that they need and all those things, right? It doesn't mean one or the other. But what I learned from that experience, and I've talked to that, that everyone in all these communities had a purpose, had a mission, a vision and a mission. And to get that and to extract it out, because it's a two-way problem. One, it was everyone going in and talking to the communities, telling them what they did, not listening. But then there was the other part from the community perspective. No one had ever listened to them. So they always just chased whatever money that came. So when you ask them to reflect, what is your mission, purpose, and vision? They're like, I don't know, right? So as part of that part of my career, I had to kind of research and discover, how do we unpack this for people, right? So what I got from that was, what helped unpack from that is, one, going first back to your childhood dream. Now, this is where also people mistaken. You're like, oh, I want to be a doctor, or I want to be a nurse, or I want to be an astronaut, right? But rather than the title, what are the specific characteristics that you saw in that person? Because those characteristics is what you admired to, looked up to, right? Those are the characteristics that you wanted to become and to embody, right? So even if five people say doctor, how they describe that doctor is all different. But then people fixate on, I didn't reach my dream, that title, and don't really dissect it and unpack it to, wait, are you that person that you looked up to? And then a lot of times they're like, oh, actually, yeah, I do try to embody that, right? So it's first even going back to childhood, like, who was this person? What were their characteristics? Really unpack that, you know, and who is it that you admire today? What are those characteristics of that person, you know? And then like, what kind of impact do you want to make in the world? You know, so other questions that I ask is like, if you had $2 billion today, or if you want to make it five, I have some high achievers are like, 2 billion is not enough, 5 or 10, whatever it is. What would you do with that money? You know, what one problem would you solve? And then, you know, people give answers, right? I would give like homes for folks or water, right? Everyone has a different answer. But then how would you do that? And that how is the uniqueness to you on how you solve problems and how you want to solve problems every day in whatever facet in your life, not just for that one global problem, but within your family, within your professional life, with everything. You know, and then, you know, then you start unpacking, you know, what's the legacy you want to leave in the world, right? What's your obituary? How would you rewrite it? You know, what are the things that you want to be sought out for and not sought out for? Because just because you're good at something, doesn't mean that's what you want people to seek you for, right? Who do you want to be sought out for? You know, what have you overcome and how? And that's something that I had never seen in any of the models. And it's so important to go back in your life, because the things that you overcome are always going to keep creeping back. You know, so for me, it's like limits and boundaries. That's something that always is recurring to me. And I stay in things too long because of the people pleasing, overthinking, and perfectionism. I stay in because I don't want to abandon. Right. But I don't listen to my gut and be like, it's time to exit. And it took me a long time to then learn, when is it that I need to make new pivots? Not everything is meant to be forever, you know, even friendships or partnerships or anything. But it's once you analyze that, rather than using your how you overcame only in crisis, you can incorporate that in your everyday. And so all of those aspects together, right? It's 8 of them. Then as you look at all of them, you start seeing all the themes. That then is your purpose. That is what you bring every day to the table. Your value, you know, one part of your value, right? That makes you you, that makes you authentically who you are. And then you can tie that to not just individuals, right? You can take that and expand that. And that's what we do. Communities was that, because that's your mission and vision as a group, right? What impact do you guys want to have as a group? What legacy, right? What do you want to be sought out for? To businesses, to communities. It's the same type of exercise, you know? And unless you're clear on that as an individual, then you don't know if you are in the right place and if you're aligned with an organization's mission and vision, right? Once you're clear on like what you are and your values, where you stand, then you know whether you fit into an orgs or what you can bring to that table into their own mission and vision, right? Or in a community. And then you could apply that to families, you know, to couples, right? Or do you and the person you're dating, you know, like, and I look back, I'm like, wow, I should have done that as a dating thing. You know what I mean? Like, do we have the same legacy? You know, and as I look back in my life, I'm like, that could have been an easy, been like, we don't have the same scale and we're not aligned there or even on our purpose and how we want to impact the world, you know? And so that is the steps, right? To really unpack that and really understand that. And then as you start seeing it, you start seeing that throughout your life, if you were similar to me, just achieving without stopping and thinking about it, you are bringing it out little by little. You know, so like mine, my purpose is to help individuals identify what their purpose is, live it, and also financially benefit from it. And so how that was creeping into my life throughout was, you know, I was helping right, in college, high school students get into college, right? They would tell me their dream. And I was like, okay, let me help you achieve it. Or, you know, in international development, right, helping communities get the funding that they needed for what they wanted, right? And proving that this works so they could live out their purpose. So I was always finding ways that it was creeping in. But then once it was clear to me, I was like, well, this is what I need to be doing every single day and intentionally, you know? And then once I started living that, the day to day, then I was in alignment, right? Because it was no longer me trying to fit, right, you know, into whatever place I was. Rather, it was, no, I'm living it every single day.
Yeah. So many people are aimless and they don't understand why they feel out of sorts. So it took a lot of courage for you to have gone through all the education and all of those years of achieve, 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 and then to pivot, because a lot of people feel like, well, there's a sunk cost here. I put so much time and effort into this. And how can I throw away my education, throw away that law degree, throw away that MD degree, whatever it is that we have worked so hard and spent so much money and time doing, when we're miserable? And I have seen so many miserable people. I mean, just, I remember years ago, I had a friend whose husband, he had a breakdown. So he was in the hospital for a while and he went right back to the same job, same stress levels. I've seen this happen so many times with people who have had some kind of medical intervention. They've, you know, had surgery. They ended up so stressed out, they're falling apart, and then they're back. Then they swear when they fall apart, they will never go back to that horrible marriage, that terrible job. And so when you can connect with this level of alignment, it makes it so clear. So many of us don't have anyone asking us. We don't know how to connect the dots. We have sometimes many careers that feel disconnected, but they really are connected in some way. I can speak for my own self that I started as an artist and then I got into doing Jewish marriage contracts. So when I would do those, I was actually interviewing couples about their values, which is what I do today. It's mining for who are you? Why are you together? How did you meet? What brought you together? And then finding symbols to symbolize what those were. And those were the things that lit me up. In high school, I was known as the go-to person for helping people problem solve because I was really good at it. But I didn't have that as a career until I got divorced. I married a person based on fear, on societal expectations. You know, we make choices in our lives that are not aligned until we get aligned. And then it's like, oh, I don't know how I could live my life any other way.
No, absolutely. You know, and that's another thing. It's true. I never even said that. Like, actually, I got divorced and then remarried.
I was going to ask you.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that part. Mm-hmm. Same thing, because it was the first time it was not aligned. You know, we weren't aligned. And now I have alignment with a partner, right? But it's also changing it, right? From check mark to actual partnership and alignment.
Yes. Yes, and I wanted to say that because yeah, a lot of people look at what it looks like on paper. So it could look like we have the same goals, we want the same things for our children, we have the same plan, but in actuality, we're going to parent completely differently. We are connected totally differently by our worldview. We see money differently. We see communication differently. But nobody knows to look at those levels of what's underneath. And that's something I love doing with people, because money is a big one. I mean, how do we see money? How do we spend money? What do we spend money on? How do we save money? You know, what are we generous? Are we responsible for our decisions? Do we rebuild wealth if we lose wealth? You know, those are really important topics to talk about. And what do we know when we're in our 20s or 30s about life, about what a partner should look like and be like, you know? So how did you find husband number two?
And I was still married to husband number one. But at the same time, it became clear to me, because a lot of those same questions, exactly what you said, we had alignment in the type of legacy we wanted to build. You know what I mean? And when I was asking questions like that, you know, like, what type of impact do you want to make in the world? What have you overcome? You know, the overcoming was similar, you know, and authenticity is something that, you know, he also valued, you know, traveling. It's what you say, like the spending the money, all those questions come out, right? Because, you know, I like to travel, right? He also likes to travel. We have to be both willing to spend money and time on travel, right? And so that, and then the like type of legacy we want to leave, we want to impact the world. Well, that's going to require, right, some sacrifices and also being more outwardly and wanting to create a movement and wanting to impact. While, you know, I didn't have, you know, and my first husband also had he had a big heart, but see, I was looking at the check marks. We were both from the same, we were both immigrants, and we both liked to volunteer, but he was not about making a global impact, right? And so that's where we clashed, right? Because I wanted to be out there with people and connecting with people. And he was like, well, I want to be nuclear. And I was like, well, I can't build a global movement nuclear, you know? And it's and it's not that there's anything wrong with that, right? It just wasn't aligned to me. Well, you know, yes. with my partner now, we have that alignment, right? We do those things together. And that way we're not living separate lives, right? We're both creating this movement together. We're both in business together. We both can work well together. And so all those things, and we don't see it as, oh, this is your responsibility, this is my responsibility, but while we're building. So, you know, well, you know, I'll do logistics, he cooks, you know, this and that. It's like a real partnership. And, but that was something that we both valued. We both wanted to be appreciated. We both wanted a partnership, right? We both felt that we were living separate lives in our previous relationship where we had to compartmentalize. But so I think absolutely. So I love that you're doing that work, because I think it's even when you see people go on dates, right? It's like what you said, they're asking just that, do you want how? I feel like they ask metric questions on check marks rather than like, how are you doing things? How do you solve problems? Even my thing about like, what have you overcome to me is really key too, because then you already know what they're going to be overcoming. And that can also be like, can I handle that? Mm-hmm. You know, so even like my partner, I'm like, this is my, I need you to watch out for me because I have problems with limits and boundaries and I have problems with leaving things. So I need you to be, help me and be like, hey, I need you to make sure that I get out of things when I need to get out of things and not people please all the time. And, and, you know, and his was also like, you know, make sure that, you know, everyone always asks me for safety and wants to vent to me 24/7, make sure, please help me put a, you know, a top of that. So if you're not comfortable, or you don't want to help either that person, that's also okay. Maybe this isn't for me, because you have to be also okay, where we only look at the positiveness of the future, right? But you have to see, can I be there for that person for the things that they're going to go through, and yeah, do and am I okay with that?
Those questions are very deep, but a relationship is deep and a relationship is long. And if you are going to be in a partnership with somebody, you want to know, how do you handle crisis? That was my biggest issue in my marriage, is we had crisis within the first year, like a big crisis. And he fell apart and he said, well, you're good at this, so you do it. And I'm just like, well, how did I become good at it? I just stepped up and you fell apart. And that's not partnership. And so, but that's all I knew, because that's how I grew up. So yeah, you just keep going and you keep staying and you don't know that there's an alternative. And then you realize this is too hard. This is not fulfilling. We don't see things the same way. And we're friendly today and it's fine. He's just so not for me and I'm not for him. But had we known what to ask, what to look for, to me today, I want to know how somebody has overcome things. I want to know what happens when the chips are down. What do? You know, when things are good, it's easy to perform in a certain way. When things are challenging, how do you step up or don't you? And, you know, do you have the skills? Do you have emotional intelligence to be able to handle feedback, for example? Those are like leadership skills, you know, are you a leader in your own life? And, you know, I think that sounds like a lot of what you do with your clients is help them step more into their leadership skills, into their innate leadership skills. If you have ever played small to make other people feel comfortable, or maybe stayed in a bad relationship or job too long because you didn't think you could do any better, I wrote a book for you. It's called Becoming a Woman of Value: How to Thrive in Life and Love. Each of the 30 chapters contains a life lesson, a story, and an exercise to bring you closer to reaching your full potential. Becoming a Woman of Value is available on Amazon in paperback and Kindle.
All those questions that help with anything. It even helps you, even in your professional sphere, right? If you're in a job, like for me, like as part of being, you know, a high achiever, I'm also Inc. I also have, I've been able to, because I do use all those tools, right? Build resilience over it. But I have a tendency that I could become really highly anxious. And my last job was so much, because, you know, it was in a diplomat, right? You're in a political job and your whole life is scrutinized. It was so not aligned because I was naturally anxious. And to have my whole life hyper scrutinized and watched, and who I'm friends with and what I do, you know, and I would follow the rules, but that anxiety of, oh my God, I make one mistake and everyone is going to, you know, hyper scrutinize everything I do, was not healthy. Right. So even understanding and unpacking those questions, like, what do you have, you know, a tendency towards, or what are you naturally, you know, like those things that are going to come out. That type of space where your job's 24/7 and you know, other people that don't suffer that anxiety, it's like, yeah, whatever. And yeah, they know everything, it's no big deal. But for me, just, you know, making one mistake brought me back to my childhood, right? Because I needed to be the perfect child. So even unpacking those questions can help you not go into a job that, like, as you mentioned with that one friend, that's going to put you right in so much stress and so much in a situation that's not aligned with you, right? Maybe another job that doesn't bring out that you can have, like, then afterwards, I, you know, before I transitioned fully to my business, you know, I had a transitional job, but that one, your work and personal life were separate, you know, and it was under the same type of field, was great for me, right? Because I didn't have that layer of anxiety on. So it's even like, you can even stay in the same industry, but even pivot to where those things, you know, that you have tendency towards are not going to flare up, but you have to do some of that work already to know what are the things that are my triggers, or what are the things that I have, you know, propensity towards, and how do I make those changes? You also brought up a really good point too about fear. I had a lot of fear, you know, leaving, and I could relate to, like you were saying, but like listeners, you know, I had a fear of failure because one, I had made it, you know, and I had financial security, you know, I could help my family. I also never, ever want to be poor again. And so that fear of golden handcuffs that I was like, I can't leave because I can't go back to that. And so that's when I was like, okay, then I'm going to stay. Even through the ups and downs, I would stay. But the thing is, like you said, at the end, it's going to go back. It's going to happen again and again and again. And it's really creating, you know, and I help you create, it's okay to have that fear, but that doesn't mean you have to stay in it forever, right? So if you're someone that needs, I take cautious risks, or, you know, like I take calculated risks, then okay, you make a plan, right? Okay, 2 years, maybe it means that you have to build something on the side if you want to go full-time in your business for the next 2 years, and then you pivot once you have some income. Okay. Or maybe it means that you're doing your job search on the side and you don't leave until you have the job that's aligned. You can do that, right? And it's another thing, you know, to tell the listeners, they don't have to, it's not saying that you need to make that pivot tomorrow, mm-hmm. but it's about incorporating these small changes every single day. And even the fact of you're working on it, you already feel better because you're on that path of like, I'm giving myself 2 years and this is where I'm going to be. So every day that you're doing that small action, you're already feeling more aligned because you're working towards where you want to be. But just staying where you are and not doing anything about it, that's what's going to, like, you know, it kills your soul because you're not in alignment at all. You're not being authentic. You're not living who you want to be. And so, like, you know, a lot of that myth is you can still financially prosper, you know, living in your alignment, even if it means that you got a degree in something else. At the end of the day, it's at the resume level. they see a degree, but what they look at are in your resume and your CV is your impact statements. You know, what have you been doing in your last job? What's the impact you've been leaving? How have you been doing that? You know, and so that is transferable into any sector. You know, yeah. And especially as you move up the ladder, they care less about what your degree is in, and they care more about what's the value add you've been bringing to workplace. You know, but we've been taught in society, like, you are, your value is your title and your educational degree. But I mean, you see New York Times, like, bestseller writers and all that have degrees in all sorts of things, right? It's not related. That's where you started. And you probably saw that somehow your purpose probably fit in a little bit on that, but you have been showing it, you know, and part of this exercise is showing people too, you were always this person and you've been showing it in different ways throughout. So it wasn't a waste of time. It's just you were showing in your thing. And now guess what? You're going to show it in this new space. So how can we use your past, all of your built up experience, and package it in a way that it's useful to you for your pivot? It doesn't all have to be all or nothing. Like, I was that and I am this now. No, you were always that. So, mm-hmm. But you can repackage it. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that reframing it, because I think a lot of people listen to this and they go, well, no, that's too big of a pivot. And it is, I mean, it can be baby steps. It can be something you do as a side hustle until you can make enough money. I think people tend to be very black and white in the way they see change, and change scares the heck out of people. And to me, it's the most exciting thing in the world. Like, I left my marriage without a clear job, without any financial real freedom. I mean, I had some money in the divorce, but I didn't have a career. I had been working with my husband and I had a side career throughout the marriage because I focused on raising my children. And so, but I was on the path to becoming a certified coach, and I had been already in my certification process, but I wasn't earning yet as a coach. So I did other jobs that I also was talented at, like my art and private lessons and certain things that I could earn a better dollar per hour from, and just got creative. 5 jobs. I've done it before. I can do it again. And never give up, because it was important to me to be able to make an impact. This was the why that just kept motivating me. And so I think for so many people, I've seen people stuck in bad marriages who just keep complaining. Can you believe my husband did that? Yeah, I can believe it, because he's always done that. And you keep staying. So what's going to change? Nothing until you change. So yeah, people need to know what's possible, and that there are methods. Like the method that Esther's talking about is a clear method. You're going through an interrogation of yourself, your life. Who are you? How do you want to be in this world? And I think the other thing people need to really think about is, what's the cost of staying? What's the cost of not leaving a bad job, a bad relationship, whether it's a marriage or friendship, a job, anything? That there's a huge toll. And if you think about 5 years from now, you still haven't made that change. And I see this with relationships when I'm doing dating and relationship coaching, that the same method that I use for helping people choose a partner, I've helped them choose a nanny, choose an assistant, find a place to live. That level of clarity helps you in every single part of your life. But the way people approach it is, you know, I have to live in Chicago on the east side. I don't even know what east side, west side of Chicago, but, you know, they don't think about, well, I really want to be facing the sun and I want to have cross ventilation. I want to be walking distance from work. That's really important to me because I like exercise. I need to, whatever, you know, safety is really important. These things are going to matter. And once you have that clarity, boom, you're like focused, you find it.
No, absolutely. And like also that clarity, you know, it's not, yeah, it's about your next steps. And it's also saying what you say yes and no to, mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of times, you know, we suffer from FOMO, that we're like, we never want to miss out on things, or we want to be this, or we think that if we don't go to things, people won't like us anymore, right? It's always part of the external validation. But having that clarity of where you want to go and the steps you want to make and the community you want to be around also helps you filter. Like, you know what, maybe I can't go to this, but these other relationships are also important to me. So maybe I'll see them every 2 weeks, every month, so I have time to see the other people I want to, you know, see and build this community or that community, or I want to take on this new interest, right, to help me with my next steps. But all that requires us to manage our time, right? And our time has to be intentional and aligned with us and all those things. So that part is key. And so, like, even just knowing, like, that clarity of where you want to go and the steps you want to take, right, helps you build expectations with those people that love, that are dear to you, around you, and also, like, filter in the things that you want to do in your everyday, and helps you be more sure on, hey, I can't, you know, I love, you know, like, a lot of people fear saying no, because they're like, oh, well, it's going to hurt their feelings, or they're going to think that I don't love them anymore. So I'm like, well, then why don't you just say, I love you, and I love hanging out with you. I just am working on this thing, so I can't go this week, but I can go in 2 weeks. I'm like, so let's address the root of the issue of your fear of saying no up front. And a person's going to be like, oh, that was so kind of you. Yeah, I love you too. Don't worry about it. I'll see you in 2 weeks, right? Or if they push, then you explain a little more. But I think so many of us are like, oh, I don't want to fear it. Then just say it up front. You know, like, I even just saying, like, hey, I really want to go, and I feel really torn because I have this other thing going on, you know, and I just want you to know you mean so much to me that if I don't go, I don't want you to think that I care about you. Anyway, just say that up front.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be like, no, I understand. They're going to be like, I understand that you're working on this thing. Don't worry about it. I know I mean a lot to you, but we don't, right? Instead, we spin on it and we don't say no. And then we go, and then we're like, like, overwhelmed because we have five other things going on, or we show up late and then we're not really present because we're thinking about that we need to be somewhere else.
Yeah.
Just addressing, right, the root of it up front.
Boundaries are based on our values. They are based on us honoring what's most important. And then we can set boundaries to protect those things. But I think most people don't understand boundaries. They don't understand communication. I had somebody reach out to me about something that she was upset about, and she tried to express herself to someone. And she said, am I overthinking this? But this person didn't respond. I said, yeah, you didn't make a direct request. And she goes, oh, God, I thought I was being so clear. So we just don't realize what we're doing because we're not used to it. And she's a massive people pleaser. And so she's so afraid of hurting people's feelings. She's got the exclamation points and all, and I care about you so much. But she forgot to actually say what she really wanted to say.
Exactly.
So Esther, I would love to hear a little bit more about, like, what's the structure of your business, and, you know, how do you help people? And then a little bit about your future dream. So let's start with, what's the day-to-day? What are you working on now?
Yeah. So I coach high achievers, right? So I'm mainly focused on that niche, high achieving, and women, also immigrants, people of color, right? And I also do teams and companies. So for example, like, if a team comes together, it needs to be really clear, right, on their mission, vision, right, working with their staff, get clear on your purpose, and then let's work together and really build a mission, vision, right? Because a lot of the teams is that they end up just like metrics, and they suffer the same as a person, right? Instead of thinking about, okay, what is our purpose? What is our vision? Build on that. You know, it's already been shown studies that the teams are a lot more productive if it's driven with purpose, right? With meaning, you get more productive. Then you becomes the profit and growth. But at times we want to skip to the profit and growth and not really build on that core, right? And build on our team and really be clear together. So I help teams, I help individuals, and I also coach NGOs. Similarly, like, what's the impact they want to leave in the world? How can they find alignment with donors, right, that believe in their same thing rather than just chasing money? Let's be clear on where we want to go, and then let's find alignment, right, and attract the funding that we need for the impact that we want to make. And similarly, people who work in the NGO sphere are exhausted, they're drained, they're asked to volunteer a lot, they're asked to give a lot of their time and space, underpaid. And so how do they keep, right, that motivation of why they got into there in the first place? And then the individuals, it's really that, how to create your own limitless life rather than just chasing the metrics, right, and just chasing and really finding that alignment so they can build that meaning and fulfillment in their lives every single day that they want and leave the legacy that they want to live. So that's my day to day. It's a mix between the NGOs and companies and individuals. And I really like that because it really helps me keep like the scale, right? It helps me keep that, you know, individual impact, that one-on-one nature, but then also see like how teams come together and thrive, and also see how NGOs can then grow and make their impact right in communities and countries wherever they are. So that's how my day to day comes out. And that's my business. We have a small team. My husband works in the business as well and also does the coaching side. And he also works with international big orgs as well, helping them do a lot of that strategy and team building as well. And then we also have like a team of VAs and people that help us, which is great, and help up with our strategy and things. And then we also just came out with a book. So I came out with a book, Creating Your Habit. Well, I know it's not video, but I mean, I'll make people feel like they're seeing it. Creating Your Limitless Life with Chasing the American Dream crossed out. So I have a book out. The reason why I wrote the book is because for me, books, when I had no money, were my vehicle, right? I think I mentioned that earlier, right? They helped me during these pivotal times in my life. I could go to the library and pick them up. And I remember still those books. I ended up the same books, picking them up several times in my life and helping me with, you know, thinking about what's my next step, what do I do, or, you know, get some clarity. And I think I mentioned to you, they all would say purpose. I just didn't know how to at that time, but I knew I was like, I need to find somehow, but they helped me in so many other ways. Right? Keep going, keep that motivation. So many times I wanted to give up. So for me, this book is what I wanted, right? I wanted to have something like that, like a piece that people can go back and refer to that has all these questions. And at the same time, it's my whole program there. So the person doesn't have to work with me, right? It's okay if you can't afford coaching, or maybe you don't have time for it or anything, right? But you have time to pick up the book on a Kindle on the business trip, right? Or, you know, if you're a student, right, you can go to the library and you can't that. And they can pick it up anytime in their life and just keep on doing that. Or they can do it with their families or as a couple, right? And really changing that narrative that it's okay. Like, at least in the Latino community, therapy and coaching is seen as it's only for crazies or only for a time of like crisis. Right. And I really want to change that narrative that we all need therapy. We all need coaching. And, you know, you need someone to help you unpack things for you and ask these questions for, you know, why is it that we're okay for elite athletes to have 10, they have like 10 coaches. But we see that as okay in society, but not, why can't we see ourselves as the elite athlete as well, right? They help you with all those different mindset, everything. Like everyone thinks it's just athletic skills. No, they work on mindset. They work on themselves and purpose. And at the end of the day, that's what makes or break. When they practice, they get all those scores perfect, right? But in that moment, what helps them is all that mindset, all that coaching work that they've done, you know, and it's the same thing in life where it helps you get alignment. Is that coaching and that clarity. So that book, that's why I created. So I have a book out, a workbook that goes along with it. It's on Amazon. It's coming out in Barnes and Nobles in 2 weeks, which I'm excited about, and Target. And it really has that whole formula in there. So if any of the listeners are interested in like, I want to explore all those questions, I want to know what my purpose is, grab the book. And then if you want to build out your roadmap, and how can I make sure I live it every day? That's the workbook. It's all there for everyone, you know, and that's what I wanted, that accessibility piece first, so that everyone can live authentically their purpose every day, know their value add to the world, you know, and make that impact, you know, they have. I really think you'll reduce the amount of depression and anxiety in this world. Imagine if we all lived authentically and fulfilled, what an amazing world that would be. So
totally.
Yeah. So that's my mission.
Amazing. Yeah. I can really feel it. And you work on so many different levels, which is beautiful. And, you know, I'm similar in that I like to have my hands in lots of different buckets at all times. You know, I have group coaching, I have one-on-one coaching, I've written 2 books and I'm working on a third, and I podcast 2 podcasts. And it's like, I never wanted to just do one thing. It's boring to me to just do one thing. And I also want to reach as many people as possible. So social media is also a big way that I reach people on lots of levels for free. And yeah, there's so many resources out there if people would just take advantage of them, because you don't have to spend a ton of money to become wiser and more aligned and get all this beautiful information. Let's go to the lightning round because we are running a little long. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. I used to think I wasn't blank enough.
I'm important.
Important. Okay. What was the number one thing holding you back from becoming a woman of value?
Fear.
You are good with the short answers. What's the best advice you can give to a woman who wants to become more empowered?
Yes. I mean, this will be my longer answer. Best advice, for me, it's really understanding what your purpose and your gift is, because that is your value add. And that's when empowerment comes. It's not when you get to a certain position or a certain title. That I always like to tell people, I stopped being an imposter in my own life once I understood my value. Right. And so none of that external stuff is going to give that to you. You got to give that to yourself. And so once you know you have and maybe it's to remind everyone here, the advice is you have a value add. You have a unique gift. Everyone here is important. And I think that's why important was my first word, you know, and it's everyone is important. All of everybody is unique. I mean, I'm talking about all across the world. And so it's just finding what that is. And then bringing it out to the world every single day. And that is what's going to empower you, because then you're driven by it and moved by it.
I love that. What advice would you give to your younger self?
I spent a lot of time doing that in hypnotherapy. So my younger self is really that little voice in your head that's telling you there's more out there for you, and that voice is right, and it is. And so just keep following it and put that fear away. That's what I would tell her, you know. I silenced that voice for a long time.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I gotta listen to the voice, that little voice. Put that fear away. What is something that people often get wrong about you?
Oh, that's a good one. I think people think I have other intentions. So I believe kindness is strength. And I refused to ever get rid of it. I can't tell you how many women, I know it came from a good place, but I got a lot of advice going up my ladder that I was too kind and too soft. And I refused to let that go. But in refusing to letting that go, the people who, I think not anymore, but I was saying, I'm going to answer this like my past. People thought that I was doing it to get something in return. And for me, like, there is no return. You know, I go on flights and I give flight attendants gifts, you know, and if they give me, sometimes they give me a soda as a thank you. And I tell them, look, I really gave this to you to thank you. There's no return. There's no need. I appreciate it. And I'm super thankful you gave me a soda, but it's not, for me, it's not you know, people talk about social capital and I believe in social capital, but I don't believe in like, it's a cash out system. Like I give you, you know, if I give you, you give me. No.
Right. Not it's transactional.
Yeah. Not transactional. Exactly. Thank you. right now. Yeah. For me, it's just, I believe that it's just, that's just kindness is strength, and that you can change someone's day just from being kind. But I think that is rare sometimes. And it's rare sometimes on, you know, on social media, if you DM me, I will get to it eventually. I will get to it. You know, it might take me a week, but I will respond, you know. And people was like, oh, is she trying to sell me? Or is she really just being kind talking to me? No, I'm really just being kind. So I think that's what people mistaken sometimes, you know, that it's that there's another motive, but there isn't. I think we just need to change the narrative. I think we should just need to kindness.
Yeah. I think for a lot of people, it is transactional, and also kind people are often stepped on. And so kindness does not mean that you are able to be stepped on. And I remember I was dealing with a person who was doing work on my deck, and I treated him and the guy he was working with very kindly. I would bake something. I would bring it outside. I always gave them a big pitcher of iced tea. I always had nice conversations with them. And at the end, he screwed me over. He did something really not okay, and he didn't finish the job. And I was like, did he mistake my kindness for doormat? Because I am not, and he's not going to get away with this. And in the end, I got what I needed. But it was just like, you know, I'm still going to be kind. I didn't do it so that he would do anything extraordinary. He was just supposed to complete a job. But anyway, he was going through a hard time. He took it out on me, which wasn't okay. But that's a whole other story.
I relate to that a lot. I can tell you that a lot of time. But then I learned. Yeah, exactly. Kindness is a strength in this, but you can still have limits and boundaries. Exactly.
Yes, you need limits and boundaries.
You need limits and boundaries. Yep.
Yes, yes,
100%. And both can coexist without...
Yes, boundaries without are kind.
Losing, yeah, without losing your kindness.
Yeah, you can boundaries are strong. Kind.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'd much rather have somebody be really clear with me about where they begin and end than be unclear and have no boundaries. And then I somehow step on a boundary and... it's a surprise because they never set them to begin with. So exactly. It's much kinder to know, hey, this is important to me. Okay, finally, how would you like to be remembered, Esther? I think I kind of know the answer to this.
I'd like to be remembered as someone that wants to change the narrative, you know, that wants to bring out the uniqueness of everyone and also change the way we think about individualism. A lot of times it's seen as being selfish. And I like to think it's the opposite. You know, it's, I saw another great definition that if you start looking at individualism and reframe it as really bringing out the strengths and the beauty of every single person, it's actually the opposite of selfish. So if anything, I want people to remember that we can change the narrative. Finding yourself and your purpose is not selfish, and that finding alignment brings beauty in the world. I know it's a lot to remember from, but but if you can remember one of it, you know, something of it. That'd be great.
It's all good. It's all beautiful. It's a great legacy to leave. So Esther, tell us how we can find you. Just give one link, maybe your website, Instagram, LinkedIn, whichever one you would like us
sure.
to have.
Yes. Well, I'll give two. So I have okay. Instagram, BeActChange. My Instagram is a lot more fun. You know, I have reels. You can DM me. And then I also have my LinkedIn, which is more about, I share more about stats or articles and more about narratives. So there's both platforms, depending on what you're on the mood for. If you're in the mood for some reels, follow me on Instagram. And if you're in the mood for more thinking about like the narrative and having conversations, there's LinkedIn. But either one, feel free to message me. It's all about changing this narrative and creating these conversations. So I welcome engagement. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for this beautiful conversation about authenticity, about alignment, about really the uniqueness of every single person, because I think we need more of that in the world. And I really appreciate what you're bringing to the world, the impact that you're making.
Thank you so much. This was great. Thank you. And thanks to all the listeners for listening.
Yes. Thank you, listeners. And if you love our show, please rate and review us. That is always a kindness that we appreciate. And have a wonderful day and be a woman of value. Yay!
Yes.
If you would like to step more fully into your value, grab a free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Becoming a Woman of Value on my website, thewomanofvalue.com. Just click the link at the top of the homepage. And if you haven't already done so, be sure to click the subscribe button in your listening app. And if there's something in this episode that inspired you, please share it with others, because the more we share these inspirational stories, the more women of value we will have in this world. I'll see you next time.